And now the opinion page. Broadway's most expensive production ever continues in previews and in deep trouble. Julie Taymor's Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark has been plagued for months by money woes, injuries, and delays. For New York writer Jennifer George, Spider-Man's woes triggered flashbacks of her family's grand Broadway debacle. Amid misguided flying spaceships, audio disasters, and collapsing scenery, Via Galactica lasted just 7 performances when it opened in 1972, and Jennifer George writes her parents' labor of love became a symbol of regret, heartache, disappointment, and very public failure. Well, if you've ever been part of a grand venture that became a grand flop, call and tell us your story, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Jennifer George's co-op-ed, My Family's Flop, appeared in yesterday's New York Times. She also designs jewelry and fashions and joins us now from our bureau in New York. And nice to have you with us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
And there's a bar off Broadway, Joe Allen's, and where the posters of famous Broadway flops decorate its walls. And Via Galactica holds an honored place.
It does, right up front. And actually, we went there last night to celebrate the op-ed and toasted the poster. So it was kind of fun.
Well, you were just a kid when this was all going.
I was 12. I was a kid. It was a project that was very much part of my life growing up. Because both my parents were involved. My father was the producer. My mother was the co-writer. And so it didn't matter whether it was breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It was the topic of conversation. And so it did feel like I was a part of it, too, even though I was an observer. Seeing Spider-Man in previews definitely took me back.
Took you back. Well, get to that last part in just a second. A little bit more, though, about Via Galactica. This had some of the greatest talents on Broadway involved. Raul Julia was the star.
And he was wonderful. And to be honest, it's very funny because, you know, I didn't really realize how many emails I would be getting from complete strangers. But from all over the world, after yesterday's article ran, I've heard from so many people who actually saw the show or who were, you know, at the opening night or whatever. And they were raving about it. So the few people that saw it actually enjoyed it, except the critics, although I'm sure there are a few out there who did not write me, who did not like it.
Yeah, whereas we used to say both people who saw it really liked it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about the show. It's obviously a science fiction epic.
Well, it was. I think it was labeled a musical of the future. So perhaps it was ahead of its time. It was, you know, before all kinds of Star Wars and galactic colloquial verbiage was, you know, part of our vernacular. And it was about an intergalactic garbage man who was sort of back and forth bringing garbage from Earth out to uninhabitable planets.
Storing it there as a good place to...
Yeah, storing it there, getting it out of here.
Sort of the Staten Island dump of the galaxy.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then he falls in love with a rebel woman who is leaving Earth for good, and he has to make a choice. He has to decide if he's going to stay here or go with her to the stars.
So boy meets girl.
Boy meets girl on trampolines.
Well, that was it. There were these trampolines because everybody was supposed to be in the effects of zero gravity, just in free fall.
And it was quite marvelous to watch everybody fly around. I mean, it was a very different way of flying around the stage than you know, Julie has used. But it was equally dangerous.
Well, Julie Taymor, the director of Spider-Man, has all this elaborate rigging so Spider-Man can do these incredible jumps.
Incredible, by the way. Incredible.
To watch.
Yeah.
Your family show, though, had trampolines that I gather lacked the strength necessary.
Well, no. There were platforms that were supposed to be pushed up under the stage to support other pieces of scenery. And if those platforms did not go up at the right moment and the scenery came down, they went through the trampolines, which happened on several occasions.
And the spaceships that were a vital part of the...
The spaceships got stuck hanging over the orchestra. Irene Cara, who was my age at the time, she was 12 or 13, she was the narrator of the piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so she opened the show and she was flying in a kind of bucket. And the bucket would get stuck in places. I mean, it was just one glitch after another. But remember, this was almost 40 years ago.
I particularly like the description of the problems with the wireless microphones.
I know. They were brand new at the time. And they got... It was such an advent to not have a wire connected to you. So, but it had some sort of elaborate kind of headpiece. And the wires got kind of... crosswired? I don't even know if that's the right word.
I think they work on radio frequencies. Yes.
Well, they would pick up the signals from the local police precinct, and it was always happening to the leading lady's vocal mic. So Virginia would open her mouth to sing, and out would come, you know, calls about arrests in Midtown and car accidents and muggings. And it was really something.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. We're talking with Jennifer George, a writer who wrote a piece about her family's Broadway flop Via Galactica. What was your great venture that flopped? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Livia's calling on the line from Ashland in Oregon.
Yes, I was in the original cast of Via Galactica.
Really?
And yes, it was an incredibly exciting thing. And the two things that I remember the most, except for how much I loved the music and I loved the show, was one time when Keene Curtis, who played the scientist husband of Virginia Vestoff, was supposed to enter. He was in a box that was on a kind of a railway car thing, so he would enter and exit on a track. And he started singing because it was kind of like a rock opera, and it didn't move, so he was still off stage. And then the other thing, and I know
I'm sorry,
Jennifer
King Curtis, the great saxophone player?
No, Keene Curtis is an incredible musical theater person.
Ah.
I don't know if he's still alive, but he was in a number of Broadway shows at the time.
Different fellow then. Okay.
Yeah, probably. And then when we were doing the tech rehearsal for the finale, which was called Aldebaran, and the traps were supposed to come in under the trampolines to make it to show gravity, because the trampoline simulated weightlessness. And there was a huge staircase that went to the top of the catwalk. And the whole cast was on the catwalk getting ready to walk down the staircase.
I remember that.
New planet. And I guess the cement wasn't the high quality at first. And the staircase was literally suspended by cables to the ceiling, along the walls, into the floor. Half the cast was on it, and it gave way. It came out of the cement, and the staircase went through the stage. It was one of the scariest things in my life. I was on the catwalk about to go on to the staircase, and I think people were treated for whiplash for that, and all we heard from up in the catwalk was the 9-year-old boy in the show screaming. Turned out he wasn't hurt. He was just petrified like the rest of us.
Oh, well, so, Livia, your big flop was Via Galactica, the same as Jennifer George's.
Yes, but 40 years later, I'm still in the business, and I still think of that show as one of the most inclusive and beautiful shows. And if it had come out after Star Wars, I think it would have been a big hit.
And Jennifer George, you wrote that your father, in fact, regretted some decisions that he'd made about that show for the rest of his life.
Well, I think, you know, and again, the producer isn't necessarily the one who's making all the decisions, or at least, you know, I think the director's at the helm, and some of the decisions he grappled with later in his life. And he wouldn't talk about it to just anyone, but I remember vividly him telling me that, you know, you don't want to have those moments in life that send you walking to the refrigerator at night. And Via was one of them. He called it Via.
Livia, thanks very much for the call.
Oh, thank you for the memories.
Nice to meet you over the radio waves.
Let's go next to Langston. Langston with us from Georgetown, South Carolina.
Ooh, my flop is not funny. I don't want to tell it because you all are having too much fun today.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't quite so funny in 1972.
No, it probably wasn't. And probably the bankers saw no humor in it whatsoever.
They rarely see humor in much of anything.
You're absolutely right about that.
Which was yours, Langston?
Well, it's interesting. I was in a third-generation business selling cotton fiber to textile mills in the United States. And during my career, it was so exciting to me, although some resisted it, to see the protections of the workers' health and safety with issues of chemicals and dust and things of that nature, protection of the soil, water, air, even the acid content of the stormwater runoff was measured and things were well taken care of. The reinvestment in the textile industry to make it capital intensive and efficient was just outrageous number of billions of dollars to where we had basically lights out plants at the end of my career. And I had a staff of eight and four foreign agents, and about 99, 2000, a number of my best customers who were often family friends began to call up and say, I'm going to have to file Chapter 11, and I'm debtor in possession of the fiber that you sent to us, which means I ain't paying you, and I'm making it into yarn and selling it.
Ow.
And those came in a range from somewhere over $600,000 to $100,000 at a time until the bankers gave up. And basically everything went overseas. There are only two significant spinners in the United States anymore, and they're shrinking.
It sounds like it as if, there's a given the history of the industry, I'm not sure there was much you could have done.
I guess not. I've never understood why it was allowed to fail. Textiles was the largest employer of minorities and females in the United States. A lot of these people in fairly rural communities, and now they're basically on the dole or working at minimum wage, where we started off at $12 an hour with plus benefits at the textile mills in the United States.
Langston, thanks very much for your story, and I know it wasn't easy to share. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking about Grand Flops. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to Jesse. Jesse with us from Oklahoma City.
Hey, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Jesse.
Well, my Grand Flop was actually a political campaign in 2006. Here in Oklahoma, I ran for the State House of Representatives. And I had a lot of grand ideas. And everywhere we campaigned, everybody seemed to agree with my grand ideas. The problem is that I was running against a gentleman who was part of the local machine, which means all he did was show up. And whenever we had candidate forums, I was really never allowed to address him and question him about some of the stuff. And so I had all these grand ideas. I finished second out of four people in a Democratic primary, which is kind of like finishing second in a shootout, you know. Either win or you lose. But the interesting thing was that, you know, since that time, I had ideas. I had planks, and he's taken these planks to the State House and done fairly well with them.
Well, at least your ideas got enacted.
Well, you know, and which I tried to tell myself that to kind of soothe my conscience, except I'm still paying for this campaign that happened 4 years ago. What I wanted to ask the guest was that one of the things that it did, it really kind of soured me on the political process for a while. And I wonder if the experience that she went through with her parents, did it do that to her parents? Did they shy away from the theater after that?
That's a really good question. My mother actually did needlepoint for 7 years.
Ow.
I have a lot of pillows to prove it. But she eventually did get back up on her feet. She wrote a great play. She wrote another movie that got made. She kept writing. My father, he licked his wounds by going into a kind of not, I don't want to say it's a totally different business, but into the industrial film world. And then he just picked himself back up. He produced a cult movie called My Dinner with Andre. He did another few shows, and his last show, which he never got to see on Broadway, but won Best Musical of the Year last year, was Memphis.
Wow.
So, you know, I think I got an email, strangely, interestingly enough, from a gentleman that my dad used to work with. And he talked about a business trip that he and my dad were on when they were in the industrial film world. And they talked about Via Galactica and what it was. And apparently my dad said, you know, you hit bottom, and then you have to pick yourself up and keep doing what you do. Yeah. And that's what he did.
Jesse, sounds like you may want to run again.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
I'm really not in a hurry to do it, though. I think I might just continue to observe from the sidelines and, I guess, quietly agitate.
Jesse. Well, sometimes you just need to take a little time off and a break and clear your head, and you never know.
Good luck to you, Jesse.
Thank you.
And Jennifer George, I wanted to ask you, you've seen the show. Yes, it triggered flashbacks to Via Galactica and the difficulties of trying to do cutting-edge stunts and trampoline work and flying in your day. And again, the same problem that Spider-Man is having. But what did you think of the show?
Well, here's the thing. They are in the middle of previews, and this is another aspect that I think it really got me upset. People are criticizing the show right now, and it's not open. They have 5 more weeks of tweaking, of cutting, of rewrites. Who knows what they're going through? And I think it's so unfair for anyone to really publicly judge the show until after opening night. That really, I mean, I can tell you, I loved what I was seeing. And I could see that there was work to be done. So there's, you know, I just asked me that on February 8th, and I'll let you know if I get to go to opening night, which I doubt.
Jennifer George, thank you very much for your time. And again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Jennifer George, a writer, a jewelry and fashion designer. You can find a link to her New York Times op-ed, My Family Slop, at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk. She joined us from our bureau in New York. We'll go out on a song, Home, that was meant to be one of Via Galactica's grand numbers. Like other aspects of the production, it was not meant to be. It got cut before the show opened.
And leave the love you so little love, so seldom declare.